Be ready to meet him in the glory. You know I want to be ready to meet him by and by. No, I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. I want to be more like him and do his blessed command. For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. Amen. Good morning. We want to welcome each of you to the worship at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ for the first service that it begins at 8 o'clock. We're thankful that God has blessed us to be assembled as a called out body of believers. And if you happen to be visiting among us this morning, we count it a great joy to have you assembled with us. Our prayer, as always, is that when we come together, that it might be for good, that we might be able to render a worship to the great God of heaven that will be found pleasing and acceptable in his sight. The lesson text that I have selected for this morning does come from Philippians chapter 1. I felt like after running into some of you this morning that I might need to change my sermon. If you're visiting with us by way of television, we thank God that you pause the channel. Just stay with us for a little while. For those of you who are coming by social media, we thank God that we do have such resources available, and we ask you to stay with us this morning as well. We know that as Brother Hall mentioned in his prayers, there are some people that have a whole lot of concern this morning. Now, a number of different concerns. Now, number one, you had to spring forward this morning. There will probably be a few people that come in right at the end of service. Y'all just keep looking this way. Don't say anything. Just welcome them in. Just welcome them in. They'll know after this morning that they were supposed to have sprung forward. And there are others that are hearing announcements. People are going on the internet and finding them. And there are folks that are saying, don't go to public assemblies. And some folks saying, even don't go out and worship God. It's like, are we that afraid? I believe that God told us in the Gospel of Luke, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you know that to get into the glorified kingdom that we got to pass from this life to get to that kingdom? Reminds me of 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter over there. There was this little shepherd boy that had gone out to see the battle of God's people. And he went up there. All the soldiers were afraid because there was a big giant in the land. And this giant was calling out for someone to come out and to fight with him. And this little shepherd boy said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? And when I get down to verse number 30, he says, look, let no man's heart fail him. He said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to handle this, not because he had confidence in his own strength and power and ability, but because he had trust, faith in God. Brother, we need stuff from time to time to wake us up to know what it is to trust in God. But that's not my lesson this morning. I'm not going to go there. That's a good one. All right, no, you know, wait a minute. Don't start me now. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, and we'll get verse number 18. We have several academic classes that we're teaching in our Thursday night sessions. We have some very capable administrators. We have Brother J.T. Allen, Brother Edry Doe, Brother Gary Smith, and I also have the privilege to be numbered among them. And those brothers are doing a wonderful job. And I really would like to spend some time in Philippians because this is a great study. And we should spend a whole lot of time in here. It's a book that you can read through every day, all day. It doesn't take you that long. Every day you can read through it. And so many powerful lessons that come. But let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible reads, what then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. It's on your screen there. All right. So it's an interesting thing. Apostle Paul to the church of Christ at Philippi, he lets them know something that I think that we ought to know. When we come into the house of God, we come to praise God, do we not? I had someone call and they asked a question. It was a beautiful question. Do we come to worship Jesus or we come to worship the Father? We come to worship the great God of heaven. And because he loved us so much, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his son into the world to save the world. So we thank the great God of heaven for what he has done in sending his son into this world to offer salvation to us and the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't somebody want to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that while we were yet in our sins, God sent his son, and his son loved us so much that he laid down his life. He shed his blood to wash away our sins. So we come here to praise God, and we thank the great God of heaven for the wonderful blessings that he has given us, that we now have the opportunity to preach Christ. And I want to use for a subject this morning, Christ is preached. Christ is preached. That's your lesson this morning. Y'all have to tell me if it's up there because I'm not seeing it back here. It's interesting. So follow on with us for a little bit, if you will. Because in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 18, we find an amazing statement. We find that here there was some preaching that was taking place, and it should have been taking place. But Paul says, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Some people were preaching Christ, but their motivation was in question. They were preaching Christ, but it was in pretense. They had an ulterior motive. When we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's all be on the same sheet of music here, that our intention, and that's where it lies, is with us. Our intention is to spread the good news. Our intention is to let people know that you can be saved from your sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Paul says, I'm preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So this is the good news that we want to preach. We're wanting to let everybody know that Jesus died for our sins, and he purchased the church with his own blood. And this morning, if you are not a member of the church that you can read about in your Bible, the good news is that you can be released from your sins. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent means to turn from self and sin and to turn to God. Confess that you believe Jesus is God's Son, and you qualify to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. You'll be buried and you'll rise to walk in newness of life. That is good news any way you slice it. Good news, good news. We had across the city on last week, we had about six houses across the city where home Bible studies were taking place. Brother Barry, I hope I'm not stealing your thunder. There were over 200 people that assembled in the home Bible studies. And we had a few visitors among us. But we went over lessons to enable each of us also to be able to teach somebody about Jesus. Is that okay? That we can teach somebody about Jesus. That we can tell people what Jesus has done for us. That we can ask if they want to become one with us in the most holy faith. If they want to be a part of the family of God that we can read about in the Bible. That is a wonderful, wonderful blessing that Christ is preached. And Paul says, even if there are some folk that are preaching by pretense. Do you know that some folk try to tell you who is the better teacher than you are? And people tell me, somebody came up to Brother Wilkinson, you better watch out because Brother so-and-so, he's starting to preach almost as good as you. I said almost. Say, brother, you know what? We are co-laborers. We are workers together in the kingdom of God. You know, when Moses was told that there were folk that were preaching in the camp, and then Joshua said, hey, let's go and stop them. He said, wait, hold up. Are you jealous for me? I would that all of God's men, all of God's people were sharing the word of God. We don't want to put a hold on the word of God. We want everybody to share the good news. When the Church of Christ was under persecution, then they went everywhere. It wasn't quote unquote just the preachers. All of the saints of God went everywhere telling everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. We have selected for our theme this year, servants. Whether selected or not, if you're a child of God, you are to be a servant. All right? I covered that on the last lesson that I preached, but I need you some help. I need some of y'all to help me. Is it too early? Ooh, like some of y'all missed your hour extra, didn't you? I know, I only had one cup of coffee, so. But I need you to help me. Now, some of y'all are not going to do it, so look around and see who's not going to do it. But turn to the people that are closest to you and say, we are servants. You ready for the next part? A servant serves. We have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are servants. And we understand that a servant's responsibility, a servant's job is to serve, but it requires that we have a change of mind, a change of heart. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be where? You got to get this in your mind. We have to get it into our mind to be a servant. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. What is that mind? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus didn't think there was anything wrong with saying that he was on the same level as God. But he had a mind to serve. And you have to have a mind to serve. We've got to come down off of our high horse in order to serve. Some folk don't know what that means, you know, high horse. You know, that means get down off your horse when the people are walking, get down where people are. Condescend, get down to the same level as other people. We are not superior to anyone. We are servants. And we understand this. I use a lot of illustrations and analogies. Y'all help me. Because now, I use restaurants before as an example. Anybody in here ever been to a restaurant by a show of hands? All right. Anybody, when you've gone to the restaurant, do you expect for someone to provide service to you? When you sit down in your booth, you know, my wife and I like to get the booth. When you sit down in the booth at the table, how long is too long before somebody comes to check and treat and which one to drink? How long is too long? 30 minutes. Oh, yeah. It's 30 minutes. Oh, yeah. We up out of here. 30 minutes. And you ain't waiting on me. We'd be dancing on the table. How about 5 minutes? How about 30 seconds? What's wrong with them? We understand. 10 minutes? Listen. We understand. We have expectations for service. I said before that when people come among us, it takes anybody and all of us, it only takes us 4 seconds to make a first impression. And if that first impression is a negative impression, all of the other stuff has to work to undo that impression. So I'm saying that we've got a very short time to make a good impression to all of those who come among us. So we've got to get that mind that we are servants and it's my job to serve. We need to know our customers, if you will. We need to know the difference between the folk who are members of the family of God and those who come in among us. Let this mind be in you. But we've got to have a change of mind, a change of heart, so we can preach and teach Christ. Jesus made himself, in verse number 7, Philippians 2, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a, what's the word? Of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? Is it up there? What did he do? He humbled himself. Some of us, we got to be careful, because pride will cause us to fall. Pride will cause us to give off the wrong impression. Pride will keep us from serving somebody because we have an expectation. You don't know who I am. You need to be watching out and taking care of me. Let me say this. Serving God is not a matter of convenience. Did you get it? Or you need help? Say to the people next to you. Serving God is not a matter of convenience. See, we'll serve God as long as it doesn't interrupt what I want to do. We'll serve God as long as I don't have to go too far. We'll serve God as long as you don't get on my last nerve. People, I don't know why folk got last nerves. I still haven't figured out which one that is. But serving God is not a matter of convenience. It's what we do. It's who we are. We preach Jesus. And Jesus humbled himself. And notice, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was not convenient. Jesus was in heaven, equal to the Father. But he humbled himself. And he came down and died an inconvenient death that he might purchase those of us who have been washed by the blood. And that's why we preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, getting into the book of Philippians, when Paul, of course, is writing this book, he is a prisoner in Rome. The Bible refers to him in Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3rd chapter, Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Paul says, "I am a prisoner of the Lord." Did you know that he was on lockdown? He was on lockup when he wrote this letter to the church of Christ at Philippi. Now, in Acts, the second chapter, Apostle Paul was having some trouble with some religious folks. I want you to get this. Because there are some folk that think that depending upon when you tell the truth and you share the truth, that you don't get anybody angry or upset with you. You haven't read your Bible. That is not in the Bible. If you preach the truth, you're going to cause friction. But the question is, what is our intent when we preach it? Are we sharing good news because we want to save somebody? And because we might offend somebody, some folk are like, "Oh, well, I can't say that. I might hurt." No, we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Our intention. And we're not preaching from pretense. That's one thing. But Paul says, whether they preach from pretense or not, I do glorify God that Jesus Christ is preached. In Acts 25th chapter, the Bible says, "For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." Paul says, "I'm not afraid of dying." Anybody here afraid of dying? Oh, we got a lot of folks that seem to be afraid of dying around here. Let me tell you this. Death is certain. Life is unsure. Did you get that? Death is certain. Life is unsure. When you get to the book of Revelation, we're counted as grapes for the harvest. People dying left and right. What's important is that we're ready when the Lord calls for us to go. Paul says, "I don't refuse to die." What would happen if he's like, "No, I ain't going to die. I just, no. Physically, you're going to die." Or we'll have to be alive when Jesus comes. And then we'll be translated. You're not going to stay in this flesh. Now, he says, "I refuse not to die." But notice this. "But if there be none of these things where these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar." Paul executed his rights. Man, y'all can't kill me. Paul knew that there were folk that were lying in wait. Paul knew that there were folk that were trying to kill him. And he says in Acts, the 23rd chapter, in verse number 14, Paul says, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. There were some Jews that were waiting in line. You know what? We're not going to even eat until we kill Paul. Man, wouldn't that be something? Somebody go like, no, he going to die. He going to die today because I'm hungry. I keep saying I'm going to use proper speech when I'm speaking so people will know that I am sophisticated and educated and I pass by the English class. I've got to do more of that. But they bound themselves under a curse. We are not going to eat until we have killed Paul. And they were trying to kill Paul simply because he told the truth. You can tell the truth. Our motivation is the question. But just because you tell the truth does not mean that people are going to love you because you preach or teach the truth. Some folk will want to kill you because you preach the truth. In my previous work life, I had an opportunity to travel to a Muslim country for a permanent assignment. And they sent me to the first day of orientation so we could get ready to go. And when I went in and they were teaching Islam in the orientation, and every time they would bring up something that was, the Bible says this about that. And then they would go, but the Bible said, and they called my supervisor. My supervisor called me in. All I did was telling them what the Bible said. And my supervisor says, Ray, we're going to have to reconsider. My name is Ray. His name was Raymond, but they called him Ray. Therefore, Raymond, I became Raymond at the job. So it's different. He says, we're going to have to reconsider. We don't think it's going to be a good idea for you to go to this Muslim country. He says, because if you go over there saying what you're saying now, they will kill you. By law, by their law, they can kill you. It's like, I refuse not to die. You know, you got to die sometime. And he says, it's against the law. This is part of their, it's against the law for you to teach them Christianity. Against the law. He said, now, usually they don't kill non-nationals now for trying to teach, but it's against their law, and if that person is converted, they also will be killed. I'm going like, well, you know, there's a whole lot of dying going on anyway. And they didn't send me to that country, and I really wanted to go to The Hague anyway, but they were sending me here. I had to go there for a 3-year assignment before I could go there, so it's like I lost all of that, didn't go. But you know, are we going to let circumstances dictate how and when and who we preach and teach to? Or do we share the word of God? We have a responsibility as servants, and a servant does what? All right, you got it. A servant serves. Our servants must preach and teach Christ. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 12, he said, but I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. Can I share something? I'm having a good time up here. I don't know if y'all having a good time, but I'm having a good time. You know why I'm having one of the reasons I'm having a good time? Y'all had an opportunity to preach, but I keep looking at the clock there and I haven't even started because it's only 7:44. Woohoo, man. I can cover this lesson. Man, oh, this is an amazing thing. Paul says here, you understand, brethren, the things which have happened to me. Get that. The things which have happened to me fallen out to the rather furtherance of the gospel. What has happened to Paul? Paul is a prisoner in Rome. And some folk are preaching because they want to add affliction to Paul. Some folks are preaching because they preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now in Acts the 28th chapter in verse number 16. I want you to show something. Some folk were feeling sorry for Paul too. And sometimes Paul got a little down himself. But I see a different thing here which happened to Paul. The things that happened to him. Remember, those Jews had bound themselves under an oath. we are not going to eat until we kill Paul. They didn't kill Paul that day. Now, Paul had traveled to Rome. And, you know, did they go after him? I don't know. But look at this. In Acts, the 20th chapter, verse number 16, the Bible says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself," get this, "with a soldier that kept him." Did you get that? There are some folks that, Paul is all on lockdown. But now he got to Rome where he was supposed to go because he appealed unto Caesar. And now he's under house arrest and he got a bodyguard that he's chained to. Come get me now. Come on up in here. I got a trained soldier. God gave him a soldier to stand right there in the house to protect him. And Paul preached Jesus. He preached the God. God can protect us even when there are folk that want to kill us for preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you be afraid, my brother. Don't you be afraid, my sister. Drop down to Acts 28 and verse number 30. It's in the same book, same chapter. Notice this. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him." God, even before bodyguard came out, God had already provided a bodyguard. Did you get that? And here it is. Paul preached for 2 whole years. Nobody hindered him. None of those folks that wanted to kill him were able to run up in there and go, "Oh, you're not going to preach that around here." 2 whole years. He preached the good news of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you, don't be afraid, my brother. Don't be afraid, my sister, to teach and preach Jesus. I was at one of the classes this past Friday. We were at the Henley's house. And I shared with people that I love planting things. I like growing stuff. And I had a tree that had sprouted from a seed that I planted. Okay. And I was just so excited and so happy because I put it in a little paper towel and I watered it, put it in a plastic bag, set it in front of where the filtered sunlight would come through. And it sat there for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. It's like, oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, poof, it started sprouting and growing up. And I transferred it to a pot. And I was so excited that I got this fruit tree that I started from a seed. But I planted it. Guess who made it grow? Do you get this? Some of us are worried that folk don't know how to preach, or folk don't know how to teach, or folk don't know how... The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. All we got to do is to plant the seed. God makes it grow. I went up to Hemp Hill sometime back. Brother Doug Hamilton's dad, Brother Jack Hamilton, and I went up and spent the weekend. My wife and I had been up there. And it was a beautiful time going up in the country. And Brother Jack had told me that morning, he said, "Son, you want to go out with me to the field? I'm going to plant some mustard greens." I'm going, "What? I love mustard greens anyway, and you going to plant some?" Yeah. All right. Before we left, we had what they call Frontier Coffee. Any of y'all know what Frontier Coffee is? And they were saying, he told his wife, "Hey, honey, get the percolator out." So you know, some of y'all don't even know about percolators. So I said, "Brother Jack, no, just make coffee, have you ever make it. And you don't have to get out nothing special for me, the percolator." And they said, "You sure?" "Yeah, I'm sure." "Well, we have Frontier Coffee." "Oh, all right. I know exactly what that was." "Okay, Frontier Coffee." So they took the pot and put the water in it and took some coffee and threw it in there and turned the heat on. That was some crunchy coffee. So that was a new experience. And he had a tractor. We were too poor when we were growing up to have a tractor. We always had to rent one. But he let me get up on the tractor, and I was sitting there with him, and he went out to the field where he's going to plant the mustard seeds. And when he got there, he stopped the tractor, and he had a bag, and he stuck his hand off in the bag, and he was pulling some seeds out, and he started throwing. And I've been a farmer since I was 4 years old. And we never planted any seed by just throwing it out on the ground. We always had little nice rows, and you had them open up, and you put the seed in line there, and you come back and you close it up and everything. And I was looking, Brother Jack, what you doing? Say, I'm planting the mustards. And he's just throwing them out on the ground. You know what? He wasn't doing it the way that I thought it was supposed to be done. It did not comport with my experience. But guess what? He already had greens growing all over the place. He must have known what he was doing. See, this is the thing that I want you to get to understand. I'm not talking about planting mustard greens. I'm talking about planting the word of God. Just plant the seed. God makes it grow. It's not me. It's not you. God makes it grow. Preach Christ. Let Jesus be taught. It doesn't matter if you broadcast it out there, make rows, dig water. God gives the increase. God plants it. Let us, or God grows it, we plant it. Do our job. Paul preached 2 whole years, and nobody hindered him. Now, Paul goes on to do a little teaching in the book of Philippians. This is a joyful book, by the way. Found over and over again, he tells his people to be joyful. Be happy. Some of our brothers have made a mistake. Oh, joy and happiness are both in the Bible. You know, you can be happy. And Paul, he said, I think myself happy. Why? Because he had a chance to give a defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now notice this. I want you to notice this. He says, let nothing be done through, what's the word? Strife. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. So now it's dealing with our intent. What is our intent? Don't you do anything through strife. Don't do anything because we want to beat somebody down. Sometimes we want to beat. Anybody in here want to beat somebody down from time to time? Raise your hand. All right, thank you, sister. We had one sister say, yeah. I guess the next question, is it me? I mentioned before that I have a talent that, I don't know, it just comes naturally somehow. I can naturally aggravate people. I don't even be trying. And folk get aggravated with me. And sometimes they let me know. And I think they be kidding most of the time. My wife go like, no, they wasn't kidding. And she's supposed to have my back, but sometimes she go around, yeah, see, you feel my pain. You feel my pain. Feel my pain. Anyway, let's talk about this. Paul says, let how many things? Let nothing be done through strife. Don't do or say anything to try to aggravate somebody else. Or what's the other word? Vainglory. Don't try to do stuff to build ourselves up, to make ourselves look good. It's not about us. Preach the gospel. Christ is to be preached. Hold up and lift up Christ. It says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So we need to condescend to men of low estate. I heard somebody's alarm go off, so I guess they're saying that, okay, you ought to be ready to get down in 5 minutes. But it's only 7:54. You heard this brother over here. You say, all right. I don't call your name out because I'm going to talk to you after service. All right. It's don't do anything. Do you know that sometimes folk in the church try to aggravate other folks in the church? Why would we do that? And in this joyful letter, Paul is going to have to tell 2 sisters to get along. And y'all help them sisters to get along. There's some strife between them. But it's good to have relationship information in the Word of God, too. God teaches us everything that we need to know. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4 at verse number 11. I think this is where we get a little bit of relationship information that will help us all over the place. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Have you learned that? Have you learned that in whatsoever state that you are in to be content? One brother had a misunderstanding about this, whatever state you're in to be content. He had the George Strait idea of being in a particular state. Remember back in 1987, George Strait wrote or sang a song, and the song went something like, he says, "All my exes live in Texas. Texas is where I would dearly love to be. But all my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee." And the brother said, "Well, if she in one state and I'm in another state, I can be happy." That's not the kind of state he's talking about here. He says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in." It's like whether I am rich, whether I am poor, whether I am up high or down low. Paul said, whatever the circumstances in my life, I have learned to be content. And that's something that we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to be content. And he says, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in everything, where in all things I am instructed to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul says, "I'm going to be all right. It doesn't matter what happens." Are you there yet? Have you learned that yet? We need to learn this, brother. I don't care what's going on in the world, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Learn to be content. You know how we learn that? Trust God. Nothing is happening that is new to God. Did you know that? God already knows our ins and outs, our ups and downs. And God says, "Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid, brother. Don't be afraid, sister. Don't you worry about a thing." All right, okay, I'm going to go ahead, and even though it says only 7:57, I'm going to start trying to wrap up a little bit. Some of y'all, yeah, I'm going to make it happen a second time. I want you to get this, 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16. 1 Peter 4 and 16. The Bible says, "If any man suffer..." Do you know that we are in a fellowship of suffering if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ? And what Peter is saying, when you suffer, make sure that you're suffering as a Christian. If we suffer because we are Christians, if we go to jail, if we are beaten, if we are shipwrecked and in the deep, if we stick our hands off in some woods and a snake bites us on the hand, if folk lie on us, if folk are lying in wait to kill us, Bible is there minding us, listen. He says, "If any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian, and let him not be ashamed." What? The stuff I'm going through, Paul says, this has fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, I'm in chains, but I got a guard right here standing beside me, chained to me, and those folks who want to run up on me, let them run up on me now. He didn't say that. But you can see the picture, right? God will provide, my brother. God will provide, my sister. Trust God and preach Jesus. Trust the Father and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, and verse number 14, more relationship advice. Man, it's hard to go through Philippians and not get this one. Somebody help me with this one. Philippians 2 and verse number 14 is up there. It says, "Do some things." Excuse me. I'm the one preaching this, ain't I? Wait. So do whatever you want to do. Do the things. Oh, wait. Do all things without complaining. Yep, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why we got to go way over there to have Bible class? You don't have to open up your house. Well, why them different zones? I don't know what zone I'm in. All right, do you know where you live? I'm just saying, We it's a great thing that we had citywide Bible studies, but you know what? That should not be the end of our citywide Bible studies. We ought to be teaching and preaching Christ all the time. Plant the seed all the time. Don't sow sparingly. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully. Brother Jack did not throw out one seed when we got to the place where he was planting those greens. He threw out a bunch of seed. There were birds out there. And the birds were, oh yeah, we're going to eat this. But he threw out so many seed, they couldn't even eat all of them. Birds go like, oh, I'm full. I can't eat another seed. So some of them grew. All of them didn't. But who made the ones grow that did grow? All we got to do is plant the seed. We preach Jesus. We teach Jesus. And somebody here this morning perhaps needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has not become a member of the church that you can read about in your Bible. And I want to just share this. This is by way of invitation. And I hope and I pray that this is good news for those of us who are members of the family of God. Be encouraged. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. Just tell somebody about Jesus. Preach Jesus. Teach Jesus. Notice this. Notice this. In Romans chapter 10, in verse number 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? So that's what we plant. The seed is the word of God. We tell folk about Jesus. We tell people what the word says. Now, our intent is that they might be saved. It doesn't mean everybody's going to like it. You know, even with Jesus, you know, Jesus was preaching and teaching in John chapter 8, and those Jews decided, we're going to kill you. Oh, you're going to get out of here. And Jesus asked the question, he says, which of you convinces me of sin? What sin have I done, Jesus said. Jesus he did no sin. And he always taught what his father told him to teach. Yet there were folk that were angry enough to kill him. And guess what? They did. Don't you think that just because you're preaching a good news, that there are not some people who are going to be offended? And some of them will plot against you. Don't let that worry you. God got you, brother. This is where we step out on faith. Can we have faith in God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have to hear the good news that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. We have to confess that Jesus, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repent of sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and we give our bodies to be washed in water that adds us to the church that Jesus built. We rise to walk in newness of life, and we can go and tell somebody else about Jesus. Keep preaching, keep teaching, keep sharing the gospel of Christ, and somebody will step out on faith and be obedient to the gospel of Christ. Told you, in order for us to be servants, we're going to have to give up some stuff. In Philippians, the third chapter, that's exactly what Paul did. In verse number 7, Paul says, but whatsoever things were gain to me, he says, I do count but loss for Christ. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul says, I was somebody in the Jews' religion, but he said, I gave all that stuff up. I've talked to some folk this past week, and one of them, he's listed as an elder at another church, a denominational church. I told him, look, y'all come. I don't see him here this morning. I said, y'all come, and you know what? I'm going to say, hey, they are here, and you stand up. We have all y'all folks to stand up and everything. Now, you ain't going to preach. You ain't going to say nothing, but you can come. And he continues to come to our Thursday night Bible class. And that's good. Bible questions and answers we have on Thursday night as well. So we keep inviting people, keep teaching people, keep sharing people. And somebody, but you know, we have to all give up something to come to Christ. We've got to turn from self and sin and turn to God. And some folks will tell us that this is the hardest thing that any of us will do. Repentance is the hardest thing. But if you're here this morning and you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, the Lord adds all to the same body. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Lord added unto the church daily such as were being saved, those that should be saved. Somebody ought to be saved this morning. Somebody needs to be a part of the body of Christ. All we want to preach and teach is Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, enough for you to come into the body of Christ. And once you're baptized, we'll continue to teach. We'll teach and encourage us to all follow all of the things that we've been commanded to follow. If you're subject to the invitation, please use this time. Come and let us know how we can serve you as we stand and sing. Did you get that? How we can serve you? As we stand and sing.
Careless, oh, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare
squeeze it out,
to meet thy God. Careless, oh,
careless,
oh, oh, heed thy warning.
Judgment.
Amen.